जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, कुंज विहारी गोपी जना बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जन्म बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जना बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन्म बल्लभा गिरिवर जसोदनंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जसोद नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जामुना तीरावना चाली, जामुना तीरावना चाली, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, गोपी जना बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जना बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जसोद नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जसोद नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जामुना तीरावना चाली, जामुना तीरावना चाली, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिविरक्तचरज अस्तुतर सत्यसिंह श्रीमान डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की। Especially those who come from the warmer parts of the country. Welcome to Chicago. What's the temperature in California? 60 degrees. What's the temperature in Florida? Huh? How many? 75. Welcome to Chicago. It's 8 degrees. But it's warmer than Toronto. Warmer than Minneapolis. Mukunda, did you select that song this morning specific for the topic or just Super Soul? Okay. Could you not put your back towards the deities? Yes. Okay. And your back towards Prabhupada? Please don't. Thank you. It's perfect. Perfect. What I'd like to do this morning is connect yesterday's verse, which is kind of a foundational seed verse for a life of devotion to Krishna, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because the verse is composed by Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami composed the verse and composed everything based upon his association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and hearing from him specifically on the ways of devotional service. So just to reiterate quickly, the essence of that verse is, the essence of the whole of nectar devotion is that we should mold our lives in such a way that everything that we do has one purpose, a devotional purpose, and that is pleasing Krishna. And there's activities of the body, activities of the mind, activities of our emotions should be directed in service to Krishna. And we heard inactive elements, that is, go deeply into something that is from the soul itself. So there's the outside and there's the inside. The soul itself, desire. We spoke about intention, sankalpa, determination. Your free will choice is Krishna and everything. So that's when it's done in that mood that's favorable for the happiness and pleasure and joy of Krishna, that's bhakti. And it sadhana is a practice when it leads in meditation upon, with the understanding that as bhakti unfolds, it becomes higher and higher stages, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. That's our teaching of Rupa Goswami. So the teacher is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he taught, but he also showed by example. And I wanted to read some verses this morning that are right on that point. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example-setting conduct. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm going just to read some verses. Chapter 7, Adi Leela, chapter 7, starting with text 20, we'll go through 26, not so many verses. And this section is preceded by, you know, before text 20, it's the Panchatattva, identifying, because previously the branches of the Chaitanya tree have been identified, and then the persons that are the main branches in the trunk of the Chaitanya tree, the Panchatattva. And it was through the Panchatattva that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu primarily fulfilled his mission, and then the sub-branches. So starting with text 20. The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love.
although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his other associates of the Panchatattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. Sri Panchatattva themselves danced again and again, and thus made it easier to drink nectarian love of Godhead. They danced, cried, laughed, chanted like madmen, and in this way they distributed love of Godhead. In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. Although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity, for this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. The flood of love of Godhead swelled in all directions, and thus young men, old men, women, children were all immersed in that inundation. The Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire world and drown everyone. Whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, or blind. When the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead and the seed of material enjoyment of the living entities completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. The more the five members of the Panchatattva cause the rains of love of Godhead to fall, the more the inundation increases and spreads all over the world. That's 28, so 20 through 28, if you want to look it up later. I heard one lecture recently, Srila Prabhupada lecture, where it was so inspiring, I just listened to it again and again. And he was speaking about similar, this seed of material enjoyment. The anyabhilashata shunyam jnana karmadhyanam. So the seed of material enjoyment for most people is senses, meet sense objects, and have fun. Enjoy. And it brings misery, but it's taken as enjoyment. That's the nature of ignorance. One thinks misery is enjoyment. And that ignorance is due to the original ignorance. The primordial ignorance is ignoring Krishna. And then one accepts the reflection of reality to be reality and tries to become the enjoyer of the reflection of reality, when indeed it's but suffering. And the absolute sense is suffering because one's relationship with Krishna is forgotten. So it's absolutely suffering. But even the so-called suffering, it's fiction. It's a mirage in a desert. It's Pushpa Akash, flowers in the sky. It's, you know, Alice in Wonderland. It's not reality. It's illusion. However, when one is absorbed in illusion, the seed of affinity for matter keeps one going. The classic example that Prabhupada gives is the deer at the edge of the desert sees a reflection, and the deer, following the reflection to get water, keeps going further and further and further and further and further and further and dies, searching for the reflection of water because there's thirst. So there's thirst, and there appears to be water. You put the two together, and one pursues happiness in the material. So Prabhupada's point was, bhakti is meant to crush, he was using this language, crush the seed. And similar to the language here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what crushes that seed of hope against hope that there'll be happiness in the material world when, ha ha, it doesn't exist. Or, ooh, it doesn't exist. Either way. And yet, you know, the party's going on. Everyone's pursuing, trying it in a different way. It's the culture of avidya. In the language of Ishopanishad, is the culture of avidya. And then there's culture of vidya. So vidya is to know, but even if we know, like Devahuti, we were discussing yesterday, Devahuti, I know the philosophy, but still I have affinity for matter. I know I'm spirit soul, I'm not this temporary body, but still I have affinity for the temporary body and the relations of the body and the, you know, the happiness and distress that goes along with having one. Was the cure, the remedy, the medicine. So the medicine in principle is bhavosadat shrotra manobhiramat. It's the medicine of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing the holy name. These two, primarily Bhagavat Dharma, is resting upon spiritual sound that is heard and chanted. And by that hearing and chanting, consciously, not mechanically, but hearing and chanting with the intention of restoring our relationship with Krishna. Now, the Panchatattva were so immersed that people didn't have a clue what it was that they were doing. However, their power was such that wherever they went, people would become, just by seeing them, would become filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. There's this discussion in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one section, where the residents of Kalinagram were asking Mahaprabhu, I'm a householder, I'm attached, I don't know the purpose of life, I'm misdirected, please tell me what is my duty. You know any householders like that? So, Mahaprabhu said two things. Whenever there is some opportunity, serve the devotees. And as far as possible, always chant the holy name. So then comes the natural question. Who's a devotee? And so the first year he gave the very liberal, anybody that chants Krishna's name, he's a devotee, even once. Then the next year, same question, and went to the next stage of devotion. Someone who has dedicated their lives to Krishna and Krishna's service and in a regular manner is chanting the holy name. than the next year's. Those who you see them. You just see them. And it inspires love of God. That's the Panchatattva. There was this nice description when Mahaprabhu left Puri to go find his brother. It was a 2-year excursion, and the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj, says, here's just a sample of what happened wherever Mahaprabhu went. So he's going along, there he didn't have roads, they're just paths, and he's in ecstasy, just with one assistant. He doesn't have a kirtan party, it's just Mahaprabhu and one assistant. And he's calling out Krishna's names in ecstatic love, and people just seeing him, they would become filled with ecstatic love, and they would also start dancing, and he'd come to them and raise his arms, chant, Hari, Hari, and they chant with ecstasy. It wasn't, you know, imitation. They were experiencing ecstasy, and they wanted to travel with him. He said, go back to your village and give this to others. And they went back to their village. It was like multi-level marketing. So they went back to their village, and the people would see them, and they were filled with ecstatic love, and they would start dancing in ecstasy. And then those people would go see their neighbors, and they would start chanting it. And that way, love of God was spread all over. And he did that everywhere. There's this later, very nice, similar expression. At a certain point in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, he called Lord Nityananda for a private discussion. Apparently Nityananda shared it with somebody because Krishnadas knew about it. And he said, I appeared in this world to distribute love of God, but because of the request of my mother to stay in Puri, I have to stay in Puri. I'm bound by the love of my mother. But you, please, you go back to Bengal and distribute love of God freely. Take the holy name, distribute the holy name, anyone, everyone, without consideration. And I'll give you some associates, some of my most confidential associates, and he named them. So Nityananda is attached to Lord Chaitanya, so he didn't want to leave, but he didn't want to do anything other than what he wanted, so he went. And as they were going, they were so mad, in, as the verse says, in ecstatic love, Lord Nityananda and the associates of Lord Nityananda were madmen. Madmen in love of God. And they'd ask people, which way to Navadvipa? And they'd say, that way. So for days they'd go that way. Then they'd ask somebody, which way to Navadvipa? Oh, it's that way. They didn't know where they were. They didn't care. They were just distributing love of God wherever they went. The detailed description in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So one of the places they went to was a place where there was a really heavy-duty Muslim ruler. So Gadadhar, at night, when the Muslim ruler had taken rest, and the house was normally guarded, but he just went right in the front door, and before this big balcony was calling out, Hari, 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 very loudly. This man was known to murder people that, you know, looked the wrong way at this man. And he said, so the man came to the balcony, the guard was there, and he was so inspired seeing Gadadhar, you know, what are you doing? You come to my palace and you're making this ruckus. I just want you to chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. Just chant once the name of Hari. He said, come back tomorrow, I'll chant the name of Hari. Oh, he chanted Hari, he chanted Hari. Dancing and dancing and danced out the front door. Because there was an instruction of Mahaprabhu to do exactly what he was doing, or Nityananda and his associates. So they did. Ecstatic love. And the message of the verse is that ecstatic love filled two things. It swelled and it inundated everybody without exception. And so that the happiness was experienced and the seed of material enjoyment was crushed. So if anybody's having a problem crushing the seed of material enjoyment, join the club. And the club is called Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan. And Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan is the means of going beyond, the means that takes one beyond, you know, the affinity for matter program, asat Trishna, or something that I've been speaking about lately. It takes you on the other side of nirvana, beyond nirvana. I'm really waiting for a little gap in all the things I'm supposed to do. There's an essay written by Srila Prabhupada's sannyas guru, Keshava Swami, called Beyond Nirvana. And he analyzes the life and teachings of Buddha, because Buddha taught nirvana, and what's on the other side. It's very scholarly, but it's right in our Bhagavad Gita as it is, in simple language, not highly sophisticated, over your head stuff. Bhakti is meant to take to do these two things. It's the same as the definition from yesterday of bhakti. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma, the seed of trying to be the enjoyer of material activities, sense gratification. Or some people, their happiness is speculation, trying to understand things through speculative knowledge. There was this one man, kind of older fellow, and he was a bookworm. I don't know if he was a gyani, he's just a bookworm. So he would come to the temple very faithfully and sit over in the side on a chair, and he had a paper bag that had two things, prasadam boxes, empty, and his books. And he'd sit there during RT and kirtan and class and just read his books, having nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. And then it was time for prasadam. He'd go downstairs and take his meal and put out his empty boxes. He wasn't an indigent. He wasn't a wealthy man either. But he just had attraction for, somehow, he liked prasadam. And I guess, you know, he didn't mind being with the devotees in the temple room as long as he could read his books. And nobody got on his case. Hey, what are you doing? You're not chanting and dancing. Just reading your books. But I'm sure, just in the temple room before the deity, hearing the kirtan, being with the devotees, and taking prasadam, that soul became benefited enormously. But he had this, maybe the right word is addiction, to reading books. So, in course of time, that man's addiction to reading books may move through purification to the point of reading some of Vaishnava literature and take off. But so on the negative side, the seed, crush the seed, bhakti has the power to do that. It's something that we need to move in the direction of, but you don't, it's not simply move in the direction of crushing seeds as much as it is move in the direction of taking shelter in this second half of the verse. There's qualifiers, so you can anukulyena Krishna andushilanam, so you can do that. You can't keep your anchor in and row and make progress. You have to pull the anchor so you can row and then make progress. So it's the behavior of bhakti is more than just the behavior. It's the cultivation of a consciousness of pleasing Krishna. And the higher stages of bhakti are, we discussed yesterday evening, accessible through bhakti properly performed, through the activities of body, mind, and our emotions and directing them towards pleasing Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu provides us with common activity that we can and should do. We became known as the Hare Krishna movement, not because Prabhupada called us the Hare Krishna movement. It was a media thing. We were the Hare Krishnas, or the Hare Krishna movement. And just because I travel sometimes to Trinidad and Guyana, we're known as the Hare Bowls. Atlanta also was Hare Bowl. Not Hare Bowl Prabhu, just Hare Bowl. He went like that, the TSA guy. Hare Bowl. So I went, you know, Hare Bowl. Because of the public chanting, and the public chanting was part of this Sankirtan explosion or inundation of love that has both of these effects for the performers and for the receivers. And so this is a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, similar to a verse that's in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Prabhupada would many, many, many times, you can check it out in your database. Prithiviti achi yati nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoibe moranam. It's Lord Chaitanya predicting in every town and village the chanting of my name will be heard. Now, his name is Krishna Chaitanya. That was the name given at his sannyas. So it was Krishna for short, right? Krishna Chaitanya. And Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna. So the prophecy that Mahaprabhu stated must be fulfilled because he's the Supreme Lord. So we've understood that. It's similarly to Arjuna being shown by Krishna in the universal form. It's over already. It's already been determined by me, by Krishna, that the whole Kuru dynasty is finished. Their offenses are too much, and so finished. So you can take part in it or not. That's a free will choice. But they're finished. It's already done. Or it shall be done. So you can be my instrument, nimitta, instrument. If you remember from yesterday, this word anukalyena, again, I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, so don't ask me questions about Sanskrit, but Jiva Goswami says it's the instrumental case, indicating it's necessary. That trying to please Krishna is necessary for bhakti. So the instruction of Arjuna, of Krishna to Arjuna, has become my instrument for something that's already done. Similarly, we're not being asked to go on a battlefield. We're being asked to be an instrument of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inundation. One of his names, it's right in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is Vishvambar. Those that chant Gayatri Mantra, you know this name, Vishvambar. And according to Krishna Das Kaviraj, it means he maintains the whole world through love of God. So that's the positive and the negative. He maintains, in a spiritual sense, the spiritual well-being and crushes the seed of material enjoyment. Crushes the seed of material enjoyment. There has to be willingness to have that seed crushed, just like that fellow that's addicted to reading books, or someone that's addicted to sense gratification, or addicted to even whatever it is that one may do, keeping oneself at the center. What's it like? What would it be like if you're not at the center? and not be a voidist. Krishna is at the center. Krishna is at the center. You're conscious, but Krishna is at the center of consciousness. That's bhakti. And Krishna should be pleased, and that's love. It's out of this world. Bhakti is not simply a sentiment. It's, according to the instructions, it's there's the practical activity, body, mind, and emotion, and deep absorption, shield, for the pleasure of Krishna. It's, you know, everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Without exception, everything. And the means to awaken that consciousness, which is our natural consciousness, is association with those that have that consciousness. And, like the Panchatattva, distributing love of God. And in our modern case, is our founder Acharya. Indomitable desire to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master, which was an indomitable desire to fulfill the desire of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, his father, and ultimately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We place great emphasis on, and rightly so, on our founder Acharya. As we do that, it should be with part and parcel of that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's the inaugurator of everything that the Sampradaya does. Everything. The teachings, the worship, the name, the association of devotees, etiquette, it's all there. He's the inaugurator, and we're following. We're following our founder Acharya primarily because he very kindly gave it to us. We didn't even know exactly what we were getting when we got it. We had something of an idea, but not really a comprehensive idea. And we're slowly getting a more comprehensive idea of what we've been given. And what's been asked, Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada and our current followers of Srila Prabhupada, meaning all of us, is assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is an appeal, something of an appeal, that says, take up the call. Where this is the Hare Krishna movement is a missionary movement. We do things amongst ourselves. Just expand a little bit. And I'll try to wind up. What happens if you do what Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva did? Many people will contact Krishna consciousness. Many people will get purified, and many people will become attracted to Krishna. And then we have this lovely service of guiding people towards the lotus feet of Krishna further and further, and, you know, training and education and devotee care and having temples, and, you know, but all of that is a byproduct of the first one. The first one, if we get really, you know, too good at it, at the first one, we'll have an overflow of people in our temples, and we need more temples, and we just have to keep expanding and expanding and expanding. And that's a nice problem. But the attention doesn't just go to the expansion. It goes to devotee care and training and education and helping people go to the next step, the next step, the next step. We're not the International Society for Introducing People to Krishna Consciousness Incorporated. But we need to continue doing that as we go further and go further. So devotees who have been dedicated in some ways or another, some of those reaching new people activities is the responsibility of every one of us in the room. not the Sankirtan leader, the Harinam leader, they're going to do that. Everyone. And the benefit is good for others and good for us. The seed, if one becomes immersed in that, the seed, the thing that we struggle with, material desire, seed, desire for enjoying objects of the senses separate from Krishna being the enjoyer, the seed can be crushed. It's just built into the whole system. We can't do it on our own. Try it. You can't do it on your own. It's not like I'm challenging you. It's just you can't do it on your own. It's not meant to be done on your own. It's meant to be done through the mercy descending. So what is the thing that we need to do? We need to be bhakti followers and followers of Mahaprabhu's mercy. That's our Hare Krishna movement. That's an appeal. Without exception. And then the other things that flow from that is also, so our lives are really busy. One of the devotees in the room, I won't mention their name, regularly when we have discussions about things like this or expansion things, it comes down to the same set of people that are expected to do everything. And they're expanding to do more and do more. You know, it's burdensome or it's not really fair to those that are doing so many things. I want to just touch on that one. Krishna is the source of ability. Krishna can expand. I have my practical experience of this. Chant nicely because we're calling for service. And guess what? Krishna gives you more service. And there's always more service to do than you have the capacity to do. Anyone not notice that? There's always more service to do than we have the capacity to do. So what do? You can say no, or you can say, you know, this is my boundaries, and then focus on qualitatively doing what you accept to do. And then continue chanting, and your capacity increases, and then there's more for you to do. There's always more for you to do. There's always more for you to do. At whatever level of Krishna consciousness in your spiritual progress, always more to do. And that's a nice challenge if you chant nicely. So then we need association of others, because what can we do on our own? But if we have association of others, we can do so much more than what we can do on our own. So we have association of devotees. And we see a spark of interest and a little spanning of that spark of interest and amazing things happen. I'm going to be a little bit specific. I hope it's okay. Not, you know, singling somebody out and yay for this one. And if you don't, not singled out, then it means boo on you. But there's a few people in this room who have heard the call, we'll say specific about book distribution, and they've become empowered in ways that they probably didn't have a clue that they could become empowered. Now, some people just aren't really good at book distribution. I was one of them, but I went out in book distribution anyway because I knew it was pleasing to Prabhupada and pleasing to our disciplic succession. Years and years and years. It wasn't a burden. It was lovely. So here in Chicago, our Parma Karuna and Acharya Nishta, what's the percentage of the total book distribution that those two do? How much percentage? 50%. Two devotees. You know, it's not easy to do what they do, and you know, it's austere to do what they do. But what's life without austerity? There's austerity. Take your pick. Which is your favorite austerity? The devotees in Toronto, I'm appreciating the devotees in Toronto. You probably know this, but in case you don't, it's been record-breaking cold in Toronto. From any records they have of temperature, it's 11 degrees colder than ever before, Celsius. It was colder in Toronto than the North Pole. But they had made a goal for themselves. They have a really fantastic Sankirtan organizer, and she divided up the congregation, because it's congregation folks, like, you know, there's not a whole lot of temple brahmacharis in Toronto. 50 teams went out door to door to meet their goal in that record-breaking, colder than the North Pole temperature. And they smashed their objective. Now, was it cold? Was it austere? Were they happy or were they miserable? They have that they're using some technology of, I don't know what it is. They could, you know, door to door, oh, we sold a set. So now everybody on that link knows how many sets for the day. And here's where we did it. And so then somebody else, oh, we're really inspired. And so that's part of how they stayed warm, is, you know, the association through technology. I think, I forget the number. I'm not sure of the number. Something like 100 sets for the month of December, something like that. Something like crazy, door to door. Not like, you know, appeal to the congregation, can you buy a set? It was door to door in Toronto. The coldest record-breaking temperatures. It's cold out, this is Chicago. Not as cold as it was in Toronto. Minus 27 Celsius or something like that. Or, Sri Vrindavan here? Yeah. You're one of Vaisheshika Prabhu's prize objects of glorification. She's, you know, based in Alachua, and I didn't know this until he said this just the other day, but she wanted to attend a Sankirtan training session in Toronto. Did you attend that? And she, so opportunities to spread Krishna consciousness back to Alachua, and big increase in book distribution. Then, you know, the icing on top of the cake, the cherry on top of the icing on top of the cake, is Vaisheshika Prabhu came to Alachua, and they're now, their plan is they're going to double it from whatever they did increasing this year to next year. And the temple president, Mukhya, was in, you know, is it really going to happen? It's kind of disbelief. But magic happens when there's that kind of association and the inspiration, and somehow we're going to do it. And just had a conversation the other day with Madhu Mangal and his good wife. And anybody that knows Madhu Mangal and his good wife, they're not like Maharatis or Kshatriya type people or super charismatic, like Vaisheshika is so charming and you just melt when you see him. But, you know, dedicated. Somehow given the service and following the service, and somehow. And it, you know, not been easy, but the book distribution effort is increasing. And seeing their example, others are similarly inspired, a little slowly, but, you know, because we're all busy and it's Chicago. But somehow, and, you know, across the board, we're the Hare Krishna movement, so Harinam. And Harinam is not just, I mean, this thing of having 6-hour kirtans and 12-hour kirtans and 24-hour kirtans and 50-hour kirtans is not something that was going on during Prabhupada's time. It was public Harinam. Not to say we shouldn't do those things, that's what's wonderful. But we need to be out in the public. I'm sure from that, those events, it will inspire those who like kirtan to go in the public, especially when they see the opportunity and understand the purpose is pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anukulyena. Certainly it's pleasing before the deity to have kirtan. It's pleasing to the deity. It's pleasing to Krishna. And the other is even more pleasing because other living entities, this is Haridas Thakur. Because other living entities here, then they benefit, it's even better. Good is good, and better is better than good. So, this is our function. It's service to the Panchatattva and service to the disciplic succession from the Panchatattva to do these activities that are basic activities, like emphasis upon Harinam, but then at the same time, I've been mentioning this, I'll say it again here. When King Prataparudra, who was the king of Orissa during the time of Mahaprabhu, he commissioned an artist to make a painting of Lord Chaitanya and the Panchatattva and the other associates of Puri. And it wasn't he was in the picture, and it wasn't in kirtan. It was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhar Pandit reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and the whole of the Panchatattva there and the other associates without naming the names. So that's something that they also did. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, in our case, hear Srimad Bhagavatam and distribute the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's our, using Vaisheshika Prabhu's phrase, taken from Srila Prabhupada, it's our family business. And those of you from India, that means something. For those from the West, it's, that doesn't have the same meaning. It's our family business. It's our blood. It's our life. I think it was Banu Swami. I'm not sure. I need to ask him. But the devotees had not yet gone to Japan, but he received one of Prabhupada's books in Japan, and he became a devotee. Now he's a, GBC, an initiating guru, and a Sanskrit scholar, and translating all kinds of things, just because he got one of Prabhupada's books in a place where there wasn't even a temple. Who can say what we need to do it better? We need more active systems of following up on people who receive books, at least to give them a better chance to take the next step. But the books themselves are very powerful. And the holy name itself is very powerful. And devotees taking up this activity ourselves will help us do two things. Experience the happiness that we're hankering for and crush the seed of material enjoyment. It's just built into the system. Nice contemplation, huh? Beginning of the year, 2018. What can I do to, each one of us can ask, what can I do to assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of flooding the world with love of God and crushing the seed of material enjoyment at the same time? And collectively we can do much more than we can do individually, but work together, and what can we do? Nice question to ask, isn't it? Even if you don't have the answer right away, keep asking the question. And some answers will come. And some ones that fit better than others that don't fit so well. Okay. Oh, there's one other thing I wanted to connect. This, the verse by Rupa Goswami from Vidagdha Madhava, where he's describing the holy name. Many of you know the verse. When Srupa Damodar No, when Ramananda Roy heard Mahaprabhu, heard Rupa Goswami reciting this verse that I'm about to explain, he said, I've heard many glorifications of the holy name, but this is amazing. It's not just a glorification of the holy name, it's a shower of nectar. So, similar to, this is Rupa Goswami, remember from yesterday the description moving to the heart and the things that are, that help one do that. So we use our tongue, we use our ear, but the goal is to inundate the heart. So the verse says, how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced, I cannot say. When chanting the holy name, it appears that the name is dancing within one's mouth. And thus I desire many, many mouths. So the focus goes on that part of the body that makes the sound, Krishna. And when that sound enters the holes of the ear, there's such nectar. I desire millions and millions of ears. It would look funny, but the nectar. And then the heart. And then when that sound vibration from the mouth to the ear into the heart enters the chamber of the heart, the courtyard of the heart, the mind becomes stunned and the senses become inert. The cessation of the disturbances that come from affinity for matter, it's held in the mind, the conception of being the enjoyer and our particular brand of wanting to be the enjoyer, it's carried in the mind. Our conceptions of life are carried there. The mind becomes stunned. The senses become inert. Then one can be in trance or samadhi or fixed in Krishna consciousness, and then practical activity, similar to these prayers of Prahlad that I've so many times been speaking about of late. When he's touched by the hand of Lord Nrisimhadev, he enters into trance, samadhi. His mind becomes stunned, his senses become inert, and he starts acting from the platform of the soul and offers prayer. So when you're stunned, it doesn't mean you can't say anything, do anything. When you're beyond the affinity for matter, you don't just become nothing or merged in Brahman. You become the unalloyed devotee of Krishna and wish with compassion, as Prahlad or Sochitsa Mahaprabhu, wish for the welfare and the happiness of all living entities, that may they be delivered from their unnecessary bitter struggle with material existence, simply due to this seed of trying to be the enjoyer with dog obstinacy, Prabhupada calls it. Despite getting beaten up again and again, continue to try again and again to be the enjoyer of Krishna's property. It's a simple principle to switch, to let Krishna be the enjoyer of Krishna's property. The living entity, the souls, our family members and friends and so, etc. Everything. Let Krishna be the enjoyer. And that all of this is orchestrated to help us come to the position where our real happiness, our real identity is experienced at the soul level, and the seed of material enjoyment becomes crushed. That's the gift of Mahaprabhu. So any comments or discussion? Hari Hari.
Hare Krishna. So oftentimes when we meet the people and we say that, okay, you join Krishna consciousness or join the devotional service and your seeds of material desire will crushed off, and they join.
That was pretty quick.
And they join thinking that, okay, it will get crushed off. And when they didn't come to the expectation of not crushing the material desire, they get bewildered and they then either leave the movement or lose the trust. How can we?
Well, that's easy. The process is a gradual process, not by the lack of the power of the process, but by our strong attachment to that seed of material desire. Krishna doesn't force it. It has to be at either incrementally or however, it has to be a willing letting go. It says the nature of how it works. So generally it's gradual. So a new person can be given the instruction manual, how to apply the process, and it's gradual. That's reality. It doesn't have to be, but that's reality. It's best if it's gradual, because then we can sustain over time. Now, if somebody wants instantaneous, and if not, I'm going to leave, or I feel disappointed, that's not our fault that they're expecting instantaneous. Or it's not bhakti's fault that they're expecting. Expectations that aren't met lead to frustration. So expectations should be in harmony with reality. It's a gradual process. Not because the bhakti process is limited, but we're attached. Okay. Way back there.
Maharaj, I was asked this question and I did not have an answer, so I'm asking to you. So there's a person, like a devotee, she has like two friends, many friends, but talking about two. So one is a devotee who has been chanting for many years. But the behavior of that friend, the first friend, is like, you know, prideful of chanting and...
Her lifestyle.
The focus is on finding faults with the others, or the intention is that the others should change, but not herself. So that's one friend. And the other friend is really not like devotee, as we call in ISKCON terms. That second friend does not have very clear understanding of supremacy of Krishna, but you know, the concept of Bhagwan, you know, seeking shelter and protection from that, you know, person. And the focus there is, yes, if there are things that are not working outside, the focus is internal, you know, changing myself.
Got it.
So the question that person asked me is, who is closer to Krishna? And I just could not think, you know, an answer for that.
Well, we can ask Krishna. From Krishna's side, one can expect, you know, at what time sequence and in what manner, that's up to Krishna. But one can expect that Krishna is going to help the devotee that's prideful and fault-finding to have that pride broken, and to do so directly. He may come through the agency of some instrument of Krishna, but to do so directly. Because minimally, that person that's the first friend is taking up something that's enjoined to be taken up to get Krishna's association, but there's something blocking, so Krishna will help that devotee personally. We can expect that. Again, how and when, that's up to Krishna. Now the other person, a lot depends on whether they really want to know. Is there a source of everything? What is the destination of being a good person? Where does it lead to? What's the goal of life? If they don't know, but they want to know, that's a very special person. If they don't want to know, but their yardstick is the material one, then that's easy to answer, who is closer to Krishna. But if they want to know, and they're just not there yet, that's a very special person. So, it's up to Krishna how he wants to help these two. And a very good indicator from Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti about the unfolding of creation, the process of Sankhya, one of the 24 elements is intelligence. And an indicator of intelligence is doubt. However, if the doubt is addressed by knowledge and one still doubts, that's not intelligence. That's something else than intelligence. But not knowing and wishing to know and having doubt, well, I don't want to put my foot on something that isn't stable and genuine. I'm a cautious person. I want to know, is this solid and stable? So an indicator of the second friend is, if knowledge is presented, is that person want to go there? Of what's the source of everything? What's the place of ultimate shelter of everyone and oneself? That's an indicator of how close they are to Krishna. It has a lot to do with inquisitiveness. Not blind faith, but some faith that there is a higher reality besides just being a good person. And I want to connect with that. I want to know what that is and be there, be in that consciousness. So you can ask, you can respond to your friend this way. This friend number two, if they're given the opportunity to find out something further about the source of all existence, is that something they're interested in or not interested in? It doesn't have to be this teaching versus that teaching, but in principle. Is that something they're interested in or not? There you can give an answer to her question once that is determined. Okay, over here.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. So each devotee has a different abilities in terms of psychophysical nature of the devotee. Mm. So some might have inclination or the capability to doing one particular service. So if I talk about my case, I'm more inclined or more comfortable in cooking or some services like that. But since we were discussing that book distribution is the family business, what is the kind of endeavor should I be doing in that particular service, or how far should I be?
Somehow. You can participate somehow. No. You got your hands full. The job, a wife, two children, one of them very small, some cooking service, etc. So you got your hands full. But somehow. And if you have that somehow spark, you'll find a way, somehow. That, you know, is within your bandwidth of time and you can do that. Like at Rath Yatra, you assist in the book distribution of books. That's, you know, that's one somehow. And whatever are the other somehows that match your time and capacity. And even if it's not a, you know, you're a big distributor, it's just a principle. It'll help make you dear to Lord Chaitanya, and it'll help you with the whole program of struggling with things that you struggle with. Whatever those things are, you know better. Somehow. Realistic, not unrealistic, something. Ask Raj. He'll give you all kinds of ideas of how. Right? And you go, oh, wait. Let me just take one out of that menu of 35. Let me start with that one. That one that feels comfortable. That's doable for me with my time and responsibilities. Okay. Okay, I think that's it. Oh. Okay, announcement, go ahead.
Hare Krishna. I have three pieces of